So after a long day of preaching, performing various cures, surrounded by huge crowds, our Lord and the apostles get into a boat and set off to cross the Sea of Galilee. A little bit of time for peace and quiet. But the storm arises, a violent storm. To set the stage a little bit, we can go and think of the Sea of Galilee. It's about 100 miles north of Jerusalem. The sea itself is 13 miles long, 8 miles wide. It sits about 700 feet below sea level. It is surrounded by mountains that rise 2,700 feet above sea level. At the north end, the mountains break and the Jordan River flows in. And then at the southern end, the mountains break and the Jordan River flows out. When I was in the Holy Land back in the year 2000 with a group of students from Christendom College, the archaeologist guide that we had said that when the conditions are just right, given this topography, the air pressure, the temperature, when everything's just right, all of a sudden a violent storm can arise. It's like the wind comes through and whips around, almost like a tornado would, churning up the Sea of Galilee with waves 10, 20 feet high. He said this is why, if you look along the shoreline, everything's set way back, because once or twice a year, everything will get flooded if it's too close. So one can just picture being in this boat at night, and all of a sudden, this violent storm. Now, the apostles, at least some of them, were seasoned fishermen, and yet they're frightened. They panic. And when one panics, one really loses sight. Notice what they say to Jesus. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Well, our Lord wakes up. He says, be still, quiet to the sea, the wind. Everything is calm again. Jesus, though, says to them, why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith? Do you not yet have faith? We're only in the fourth chapter of St. Mark's Gospel. But already, the apostles have witnessed Jesus exorcise demons. And those demons have said, we know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. They've seen Jesus perform miracles, curing a leper, a paralytic, a man with a withered hand. They've heard his preaching, drawing huge crowds. And the crowds have said, we've never heard anything like this. He teaches with authority and conviction, unlike the scribes and the Pharisees. Yet they didn't have faith. Well, we shouldn't be too hard on them, because we know they will have faith. And they'll be the foundation blocks for our church. For us, though, this is a very important lesson in life. We need to stay awake to our Lord. So, the apostles, it's not so much that Jesus was asleep, it's that they were really asleep to him. We need to stay awake to the presence of our Lord. This is why so oftentimes I encourage you to take time every day for prayer, to allow yourself to spend time with our Lord and just allow your heart to talk with his, to share your life with him. Be sure, take the time to read the gospel passages. So work through a gospel, work through the New Testament, do some other spiritual reading. Also, frequent the sacraments, especially Mass, the Holy Eucharist, and then also regularly the Sacrament of Penance. You and I, though, have to stay awake. Because after all, when we think about our life, it is sort of like being in a boat and crossing from one side, the beginning, over to the other side, the end point. Normally, our life is pretty calm, routine, normal. But the times come when there are violent storms. And if we don't have our eyes awakened to Jesus, we're going to perish. The violent storms come. For instance, when the doctor calls up and says, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you have cancer. Or the relative calls up and says, someone has died. Or the boss calls you in and says, sorry, your job no longer exists. Or the principal calls up and says, your child has been caught with drugs or alcohol. Or the spouse says, I've committed adultery. Oh yes, the storms of life. And we could easily perish, just like the apostles panic, allow this darkness and this storm to just surround us and let the waves come into our boat and we start having that sinking feeling. But nevertheless, if we stay awake to the presence of our Lord, we know He's with us. He'll help us get through this. He won't let us drown. He won't let us sink. He will be with us. It doesn't mean He'll go, problems over. No, we have to weather the storm. But that's why St. Paul tells us in our second passage, the love of Christ impels us. So the love of Christ gives us the strength to continue on. Because we know that even though there was Good Friday that seemed filled with darkness, sorrow, defeat, that gave way to Easter, to light, joy, a new life, victory. So we are people that have that faith that even though we may go through a Good Friday, there's the hope of the Easter Sunday. Christ has conquered. Christ will not let us perish. I think then of how important it is that not only you and I personally awaken ourselves to Christ, but that we help others stay awake too. For instance, you think of all those apostles, 12 apostles in a boat. Someone would have said, you know, guys, calm down. Look what Jesus has done. He's not going to let us sink. Well, when we know someone who is in a storm of life, then we need to help. That can be by praying for that person, doing some act of kindness, or just being present. So important, especially at the time of the death of someone who is loved. Yes, just being present to help people get through the storms. Because after all, we're a church, so it's like we're all together in this big boat. I think of the people who recently, in Charleston, South Carolina, at Emmanuel Church, witnessed an awful event. To think some young man filled with hatred would attend a Bible study and then just cold-bloodedly murder 9 people. But how did they react? Well, if you looked at the news, you could see even on the recordings, they forgave. They were filled with tears, and yes, filled with grief, but they forgave. Those people had their eyes opened to the presence of our Lord. Yes, it will take time to heal, but they've been awakened to Christ, and what a great example that is for all of us. But put it all together, this is a great message for Father's Day. Now, you moms had your day in May, so dads get their time too, fair and square. So fathers really have to be the individuals that help keep their family awake to the presence of Christ, to keep that little boat from capsizing. For instance, well, I shouldn't say for instance, but in God's plan, God had the design where we have a man and a woman, different but complementary. And in God's plan, man and woman are meant to be husband and wife, to be father and mother. Yes, they complement. They bring about a fullness to that image and likeness of God. And the love is different. We know that moms have that great, compassionate, nurturing kind of love. Moms are homemakers, and I don't mean that in domestic duty, but rather the mother's heart really transforms a house into a home. The father, being the man, is more geared toward being the provider, the protector. He's the guardian of the family. It doesn't mean things don't overlap, but yes, fathers have their own special gift to give to the family. A few weeks ago, when we saw all those riots in Baltimore, I was listening to the news, and one of the Baltimore newscasters said that the real problem here, seeing all these teenagers burning, looting, and so on, the problem here is that 80% of those teens do not have a father in the home. And he said, that's the problem, simple. true. So what we need to remember is how essential a good father is. And that reminds us then of Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph was chosen from all the men on the face of this earth to be the foster father and guardian of our Lord Jesus Christ. Saint Matthew describes him as a just and holy man. He was righteous, meaning right life with God. As a Jewish father and husband, yes, he loved Mary as his wife. He loved Jesus as his son. As a Jewish father and husband, he was the one who provided, so he worked as a carpenter. He was the educator in that he had to teach Jesus a trade. But also, he's the one who taught Jesus how to read the Torah, so important for a young man in Judaism. Saint Joseph, too, was the one who not only provided, but protected the family. He was the leader in faith, so the spiritual head, who each day led the family in prayer, made sure they went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, went to Jerusalem for the special events like Passover. That was his role, and so essential to the raising of our Savior. Was it easy? No. Saint Joseph knew the storms of life. When he and Mary are traveling to Bethlehem for the census, Mary's expecting Jesus, no room in the inn. He had to provide, even though that was simply a manger. After the birth of our Lord, there was at least 40 days when they stayed in Jerusalem until that ritual of the presentation. So Joseph had to find work to provide for his family. Then King Herod wanted to kill Jesus, so Joseph had to take the family to Egypt until Herod's death. Then he had to bring them back to Nazareth, resettle, provide for his family. In those days, he lived under Roman oppression, high taxation, and cruelty. So Saint Joseph didn't have an easy life. But what a strong man who kept his little family safe, who kept that little ship, that little boat, safe from all harm. So, dear gentlemen, those of you who are fathers, take this message to heart. In our society, our American society, we see the storms right now that surround marriage and the family. And so, men, be men. We need good masculine examples in our society. And if you're the father, then be the good father. So, yes, love your wife with your whole heart. Because by loving your wife, your son will know how to treat a woman in the right way, the Christian way. And your daughters will know what to expect of a man in a Christian way. Be the spiritual head of the house. Be the one who leads the family at the mealtime prayer or even bedtime prayers. Make sure the family comes to Mass, to confession. Make sure your kids learn their faith. Also, be that good example. Do things with your kids. I find it very disturbing when I go to a restaurant and I'll see a family for a meal and dad's looking at text messages or something like that. Put the contraption away. And so many kids today live in isolation with a computer, their cell phone, video games. Put them away. Do things together. Just as Joseph worked in a carpentry shop and little Jesus was there learning that trade, think of the wonderful teaching that was going on as Jesus witnessed his father. And so, gentlemen, be the good fathers. Put your whole heart into it. And then, given our society today, we know that not everyone has a father. Maybe if you're the grandfather or the uncle or the godfather, step up. Because that child needs your help too. That child needs the influence. And for you women, you wives, respect your husbands. Treat them like men. Treat them with the same love that our Blessed Mother had for Saint Joseph. And so we celebrate Father's Day, and we remember how crucial it is for a father to keep that little boat of a home safe from harm, to be that good Christian man who keeps the family assured that Christ is present and Christ will never let us perish. So with that now, I ask all fathers to please stand for the special Father's Day blessing. God our Father, in your wisdom and love you made all things. Bless these men, our fathers, that they may be strengthened as Christian fathers. May their example always be that of Saint Joseph, the foster father and guardian of our Savior. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth to their families. Grant that we, their sons and daughters, may honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. And let us all stand now and profess our faith. I believe